Falcon has flown in for a talk with The Antidote. Thanks so much for coming.
Yes, thanks for having me, Dave. Appreciate it. Yeah.
I admit that was kind of a lame intro, but it no. is kind of funny to have Falcon being interviewed by someone whose last name is Hawkins.
I was like, wow, this is kind of cool. The Hawk and the Falcon. Let's go.
So here we are. We're both birds of prey. Does that mean that you and I were destined to meet?
I would say so. 100%. Yeah.
I suppose I should have you explain why you chose Falcon as your performer name.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, I mean, long time ago. But I kind of started with Falcon back in the day. I think it was maybe early 2000s. Kind of left my group at the time. I was in a group with my brothers. And I was trying to really identify myself as an artist. So I chose Falcon from the perspective of it being one of the smallest birds that can soar through storms. And I figure I'm a guy who's been through a lot of different things. So it was just so fitting. And originally was F-A-L-C-O-N. Eventually I realized that I was kind of copying off of Falcon from Marvel Comics. If anything should happen, I didn't want to get sued. You know what I mean? I'm like, hey. So I took it later on. I kind of left it alone for a little bit. And just use my regular name, Isaiah Little. But then later on came back to the concept of the Falcon and just kind of changed the spelling around a little bit, just be a little creative with it. But yeah, it really derived from the place of me just really trying to identify myself as an artist. Back then, the big idea was like, you need a kind of a gimmick to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, this feels not so much of a gimmick, but really like, wanted to make it more personal, like, hey, who am I and what could I really identify myself with that can kind of soar through the airwaves, so to speak.
You already mentioned that you messed around with the spelling of the name Falcon. How do you spell it?
So it's spelled F-A-H-L-K-Y-N.
I'm glad you remembered.
Yeah.
Well, one of the earliest songs from Falcon came out in 2022. The song Wave says, "Love flowing like an ocean. I'm loving this motion. Got me surfing." So obviously that means you've never been seasick.
Oh, no. No, I've never really even been on the sea, but just in the ocean, just, you know, swimming around at the beach or something like that. But yeah, that's definitely one of my original pieces back then, 2022. Just a nice little love song I wrote for my wife. Something real simple, organic, you know, just letting it flow, letting the lyrics just ride. Yeah.
And it is sweet. But you know something? I had to hunt out what you were intending when the song closes with, "Baby, you're so wavy." Now, I had no idea what you're meaning by wavy. I'm going to leave that up to you to explain.
All right, great. Yes. So, I mean, you know, in all of her personality or her, just the various forms of who she is inside and out, it's like a wave, you know, the ebbs and flows of just life and just love. That's kind of where that came from. Just speaking from a place of, you know, been married for about, what, 13 years now, 13 years now. Yeah, it's just the ebbs and flows of love and just the experience of being with somebody and in a relationship. And at that time when I was writing the song, Wavy, it was really me depicting those moments of like, man, we've been through so much, but like, you're just so wavy. Like, you know, because waves collide and they ebbs and flows are coming back and forth and things like that. So it's just the way that we're able to, you know, do that in life and keep coming back to this place of love and of respect and honoring each other and things like that. So that's really where it came from.
You already mentioned about being in a band with your brothers.
Yeah.
Now, I'm hoping that you guys weren't wearing like those matching polyester suits.
No, we didn't get there. Oh, man, that'd have been cool, though.
So when did you actually first get started into making music?
Wow. So I got started making music in 2004. On my own, personally. And that's really just the process of, I guess, production wise, as far as tracking vocals myself and things like that. I didn't really get into the aspect of making beats or tracks until a little later on, maybe around like 2011, 2012, somewhere around there. But early on, it was really just vocalizing, just singing. We sung in a group, so we just did a lot of harmony, almost like Boyz II Men and Take Six and, you know, Commission, guys like that. And later on was when we really started discovering, I guess I seen it through my eldest brother, because he started like playing piano and stuff. So I started seeing him create actual beats and make songs. And that really intrigued me, but I didn't know how to actually get into it myself 100%. So I relied on him a lot and just kind of learned from his craft, how he did it. And eventually started creating things for myself after that. Like I said, around like 2004, then later on, like 2011, 2012.
Let's talk about more of your craft. Another release you had from 2022 is With You.
Yes.
It speaks about not winning the war, not being rich or being a superhero. I do get that, but the media doesn't push that point.
That is so true.
So isn't having unrealistic relationship expectations common?
You know, I believe so. I mean, and to give you even context real quick to where that idea came from, I think that helps too. The song idea actually came from me listening to Aretha Franklin's You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman. That one.
Right.
And when I heard it, it sparked something in me to, I guess, the understanding of what she was saying, or maybe a piece of what she was saying in that song, or what they were writing about, as far as just feeling like I don't have to be everything in the world to this person who I'm with. You know what I mean? I can just be myself completely, honestly, and fully. I don't want to go too deep, but you can take it to a spiritual sense as far as like with your Heavenly Father. It's like, I don't have to be a billion things. I can just be a son, or I can just be a daughter. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But when it comes to relationship, the idea of the song was really just explaining the fact of like, man, my wife, she needs me to be a provider. She needs me to be all those things that, you know, brings stability and love and all that. But at the end of the day, she just wants me, you know, so I don't have to be a superhero. I don't got to fly through the sky, you know, and even the expectation I have for myself, you know, as far as being a man and caring for her and things like that, like, I don't have to win every battle. I don't have to be superior. I don't got to do a whole lot of different things. I just got to be myself at the end of the day. She just really wants my attention, my presence, my love, my care, you know? And you're right. I think, you know, generally speaking, it's not a very popular perspective to bring out, to ride on. But I think it's something, though, that like at the core of who we are, it's what we really want. You know, money can do but so much. And at the end of the day, and even at the beginning, it's like, man, who's really just in my corner, just to be in my corner? You know, who is just for me? You know, so that's really where the song came from.
You chose R&B and soul to be your music focus.
Yes.
You mentioned Aretha Franklin. Was it artists like that that drew you into going in that direction?
So, no, I think...
I'm sorry, but you sound nothing like Aretha.
No. So true. No, I don't have her range or her I don't have any of that. But I really grew up listening to R&B and gospel. In my home, my mom, we would go to church on Sunday, and then throughout the week or on a Saturday morning, all the kids were in the house cleaning. She's playing Kurt Franklin to the funk band and just everybody, you know. So we listened, we had a very wide perspective of the music. So the way that I got actually caught onto the R&B was through Commission and the way that they sung gospel music with the R&B vibe. And then also too, we listened to a lot of Boyz II Men. So that was like engraved in us very young, growing up in that. Like the various styles, I would hear a lot of the classical music and jazz. But then, like I said, a lot of the mainstream artists like Michael Jackson and Prince and those guys, how they kind of like brought out certain chords and melodic progressions and things like that. I was like, wow, that's really intriguing. And, you know, certain things just stuck out to me. It just pulled me in. I really just got engulfed in just the idea of like what things could sound like. And my biggest influence, I really feel like growing up early on, was Boyz II Men, was like the big groups at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Boyz II Men, those guys, Commission, Take Six, those guys. So like I said, hearing them, as I got older and I started hearing more mainstream R&B, it was almost as if it was meant to be, like you said earlier, it was like meant to be of like, okay, this is the sound that I've been hearing and the sound that really, really speaks to me. And I want to really flow in that, you know? So even vocally, I would write little songs and I would write it according to the sounds, because I didn't know how to play anything at the time. So I'll just write it according to whatever is coming out of my head as far as what I heard, and just created things like that. So yeah, that's kind of where the R&B is always there, always there.
You know, maybe I'm totally clueless, but isn't R&B a lot less common nowadays?
That part, I think that is still very much common. I think there's a lot of variations to what R&B can be nowadays, but I guess I would wonder the same question to some degree. And I think that's only because of how much attention it gets as far as what I hear now. But with that in mind, I think it's still very much common. I think it's still very much the core of a lot of what music is nowadays, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's nowhere you can go and hear music that you don't hear the flat sevens or the flat nines and not think of how it makes you feel, you know, how it pulls you in. And I think that's what R&B does. It has a way of like just pulling you in and making you feel like at home. And there's so many songs that I can even think of even right now that have utilized, some people even phrase it as like the gospel chords and stuff. But a lot of that stuff is deriving from like the R&B sector. So many songs that pull those little pieces in to give that flavor to make the songs what they are. So I think it is still very prevalent in our world today.
We spoke a few minutes ago about 2022 and the song you were bringing out. Now, last year, you dropped Don't Drown. That is a sad one. About a woman struggling with doubts and a broken heart.
Yeah, yeah. You
know, as I said, it's sad. But was this a real experience?
This song, Don't Drown, actually came from, man, very personal time in my life. Shared personal time. My daughter had been going through a few things in her life. And I didn't know how to address the issues that she was facing. So I think as we kind of like walked through some things with her, that song began to develop in me. I remember when I first wrote the songs actually started with the first two lines of the first verse. Doesn't matter, we're two worlds apart. And that was me saying to my daughter, hey, even though I'm older and you're younger and it's two different spectrums of life, I can still meet you right where you are. You just gotta let me in. And yeah, the song really started off from that place of just trying to encourage her not to allow the world to, or her feelings or whatever she might be experiencing, to pull her so deep in that she forgets who she is and she drowns in all the things that's going on in her life. But to try to get up and try to do her best to stay above the water as much as she can. And then take moments to breathe, you know? Yeah, yeah.
So you're making it sound as if these songs are always personal.
Yes. Yes, they are. So I can write beyond the personal perspective, but I think where I like to live is from a very personal place. I love that Me Too moment. I don't know, Dave, you could let me know too. I mean, when you hear a song, the songs that really connect with you well are the ones that you're like, man, that was really good. But man, I remember I had experience like that too. You know, and I think those are the ones that last in our life a little bit longer too. You know, the ones we're able to connect to deeper. And for me personally, I love living in that space because I've experienced so much life. And sometimes for me personally, I wonder if anybody else had moments like I've had. You know, I've wondered if anybody else has felt love as deep as I felt it. You know, I live in this world, but you know, so much about what I do is not speaking to everybody about their life and about their situations, you know, but I feel like through song, I can make my experience a little bit more palatable, where somebody can have that moment of like, hey, I've been through that, you know, I know what that's like, you know, and give them an opportunity to see themselves and let them know that they're not alone in their experience as well, too, you know. So, yeah, I love that space of just being able to connect with people that way. It brings me so much life, you know, just being able to do that.
That is what it's all about, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Something about your music is that I've seen it described as being faith adjacent. I think you got to explain that one to me.
Yeah. faith adjacent. I love it. So I'm a Christian, 100% saved, giving my life to the Lord. So the space that I write from is from that personal space of faith. Even with you, Don't Drown, Wavy, I live in this area of, God, how do you want me to present this? It's R&B. It is definitely not going to be something I sing in church. But it's something that I feel like God can still use to reach people. And I guess I can explain that a little bit too. I pulled it from a place of when I have conversations with people, I don't necessarily speak to them directly about the Bible or about the Word of God. And most of the time I talk to people about their life and I try to help people to see where God was in those moments. So I think, you know, when it comes to even my music per se, when you speak about being faith adjacent, it's like, I want people to see God in every moment. I want them to see God in their relationship, in how they care about their loved one, in how they treat, you know, themselves, treat people around them. So everything that I write really does come from that place of like, hey, God, this is something that I feel like needs to be heard, and help me to make it, you know, palatable enough that it's not too far off, but right on the money as far as just the experience of life that we all go through.
You said that you would never sing these songs in church. Why not? Is church that limiting to creativity and what we can express?
I think some places still are. I believe that there are spaces for it, but I think what the understanding is, and I guess that's the division as far as secular and sacred songs comes from, it's like in church, we are really, really wanting to make sure that we direct people to God, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of that structure, we have our songs of experience, you know, as far as, you know, we call it secular. But we have those songs of experience that I'm able to utilize outside of the four walls to reach people who may not ever come into a church building. You know what I mean? So I think it is slightly still limited to that degree in a respectable way. You know, I think giving people an opportunity to hear something that may not be so much going up, but giving them something from person to person. There's an analogy that I use sometimes when I'm speaking with people, and it's like when you meet somebody who's hungry, do you give them a scripture first or do you give them a sandwich? And I would say, well, no, I would give them a sandwich first because they're hungry. Let me feed them first. And then maybe they'll have a, you know, they'll be okay enough to receive the scripture after the fact, you know? Of course, you got to use discernment in every case, but that's the basic analogy that I use. And I think even with what I do, although I am 100% faith-based, what I'm giving people is that sandwich first. And then they can derive, find out more deeper understanding of where I was coming from or anything like that. Then we can kind of have the conversation and talk more as far as what the songs really mean or where they're coming from and, you know, and then dive into life things of that sort. So, yeah.
You're eloquent. What a
appreciate
great
that.
Answer. Earlier this year, Falcon delivered Can't Wait. Girl, the way you pull me in, no need to try. It's magnetic. And girl, every time we connect, you blow my mind. Is that always what you dream for? That kind of connection?
I mean, I'm slightly a helpless romantic still, I guess. Although, the song, it really did like just come from the idea of a date night. And me just talking to my wife, you know, in a way of like, hey, you're a problem and you're the only problem that I love to solve. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, you are magnetic. Like, no matter what, I am drawn to you and nobody else. And there's no one else that I've been drawn to in this way. So the song is just expressing like some deep gratitude for love. You know, it really is expressing a deep gratitude for love. And I think that's what keeps relationships fresh. Me and my wife, we talk about this a lot too, as far as just like dating each other and trying to maintain that flow in our relationship so it can continue to be fresh and not get stale. And because I mean, after these kids get out this house, it's just me and her, and we don't want to be strangers, you know, when they're gone. We want to be able to love each other wholly and fully, you know. So yeah, that song really came from the idea of just encouraging dating, just encouraging being connected in that way, and really seeing your partner as that type of from that perspective, like, hey, this is the person I love, and man, in all the ways I love, or whatever the case is, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
it just comes from that.
I've got to hear more just about you personally.
Yes.
What are your dreams and hopes for Falcon? Like, what do you want to achieve?
Oh man, I used to want to be the biggest star in the world. I used to want to be just somebody who is spoken about in every room. But I think as I've grown older and a little bit more mature, I think who Falcon is and where I want to see Falcon. Falcon is a message of hope, message of love. And I would love to see wherever Falcon can go. I see Falcon with no limitations. And to be able to have my music all across the world and just reaching people and touching people's hearts in even like the next year or two, that's where I really, really see Falcon, 100%.
You and I need to talk about the latest from Falcon, and that's the just-released single, Dilemma. You've talked about having personal songs. This one seems to come across as the most personal of anything you've done. It's about struggling to move forward into a new relationship. I'd like for you to tell us a story about Dilemma.
Okay, I'll try to keep it brief.
It's all good.
Yeah, well, I was married to my first wife back in 2010. She passed away from cancer.
Brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a tough time. Tough time. 2011, struggling, of course, to move forward, trying to really figure out what life was like without her. And, around 2011, November, December, I had met my wife now, and we had started talking. We dated for a little bit, 2013. We had decided to get married. With all that, it was beautiful, and I was ready to take those steps forward. But what happened to me at that time, and she didn't even know this because I think as men, we compartmentalize a lot.
Absolutely.
So I pushed things so far down in order to appear stable enough. I think I've learned a lot better emotional now to, you know, really, really move forward better. But yeah, at the time I pushed things so far down and we were getting ready to get married, but I got nervous. I got afraid. And the fear was really me telling God, like, man, what if I lose her too? I can't afford emotionally, mentally, physically. I can't afford to lose anybody else like that.
Mm.
To watch somebody dwindle away, that's a hard pill to swallow. It was like, Lord, I love this girl and she's amazing, but like, I need your help right now because if something should happen to her, I don't know what I would do. Now I'm in love again. I'm loving somebody again. I'm giving my heart again, but this is still life and the same things can still come around. So it was really a tough moment of like, really just trusting God and saying, hey, you know what? I can't move forward. And I'll share this with you too. I think there was a time after my first wife passed away and I was reading scriptures and I forget exactly where it is right now, but I was reading about Noah. And the first thing the Lord had showed me was how he promised Noah with the rainbow that he would never flood the earth again.
Mm-hmm.
What I got from that was God letting me know, I won't let that happen again. You're still going to experience life from whatever perspective things are going to happen, but you won't have to go through that again. So I think that was a part of me taking the step forward and just saying, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I know you got my good, you know, at heart, and you really want the best for me. You blessed me with this beautiful and amazing woman, and I think that I can really just trust you and just move forward. So it was tough. It was tough. We did get married. I had my moments of really having to give over certain trust to her, my new wife, as far as the things that I had experienced, to allow her to be able to be the support that she had wanted to be for me personally, to help me walk through those moments. Because there was a lot of pain that comes with that, that you just don't, you know, the trauma, you just don't get rid of trauma. And it shows up in so many weird forms and ways. Since then, I've gone through counseling and things like that, too, to deal with those things. But it was really in the moment, like I said, taking a step of faith, man, that really helped to just move forward from there. And it's been really steps of faith ever since, too. Because like I said, you just don't know when it shows up or when it's going to show up. And you don't know how it's going to affect you. But I feel like she has been a great support. And like I said, my faith has been a really great a tool for me to utilize in moments when I'm really like feeling that come on or whatever the case is. And for you to note too, my daughter is actually from that first marriage. So seeing her mom through her, you know what I mean? Things like that will come up.
Oh, sure.
And that song really was me trying to capture all of that emotion, all of that experience in one song. When I was writing at first, I started to write it from a perspective of like very general, where everybody gets cold feet, you know? Mm-hmm. But as I thought more into it and as I began to write the verses a little bit and go a little bit more deeper, I was like, no, this needs to be a song specifically about the loss of somebody. You've given everything you've got, and then all of a sudden your whole world is torn apart. But then God brings in this new thing, and you're like, man, how do I move forward and not feel weird about moving forward? How do I trust and not feel weird about trusting? You know, how do I love and not feel weird of the fact that I loved already before, almost as deeply?
Mm-hmm.
And really, really believe that God knows what he's doing. He's orchestrated every step. But at the same time, I'm a human being and I don't understand.
Well, I really admire you as an artist being able to draw that all together and present this huge story, involved story, in just a few minutes of listening time.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So you've been releasing a whole series of singles. Mm-hmm. Are there going to be more singles to come?
There will be a couple of more singles to come. I'm going to be releasing a full project around October this year.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I figure I got a lot to say, so just give it
all. You're going to promise to send me a copy of that.
Yes. Yes, I will. Dave, you got it right now. The promise is in stone. Definitely going to send you a copy. Yes, sir.
Falcon, it's been great having you here for a talk on The Antidote. Thanks so much for sharing your time.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for having me. Appreciate you.